to the Chemistry Podcasts. This episode I'm going to look at intermolecular forces, and the two types of intermolecular force that I'll consider today are dipole-dipole forces and dispersion forces, sometimes known as London forces. I've previously posted an episode on another type of intermolecular force, a very important intermolecular force, which is hydrogen bonds. Anyway, to begin with, let's have a look at a few definitions. Now, the word intermolecular uses the prefix inter. In another context, we can look at travel. Interstate travel, if I was to travel between Western Australia and New South Wales, I'm travelling between states, or international travel means I'm travelling between nations. So the prefix inter in this context means between, and it has the same meaning when it comes to intermolecular forces. Intermolecular forces are the forces between two molecules. The force within the molecule, for example, this hydrogen bromide molecule, is called an intramolecular force. Intra meaning within. So let's have a look at this hydrogen bromide. To begin with, we know that it's got a net dipole. We know that that occurs because of the difference in electronegativities between the bromine and hydrogen atoms. The bromine is more electronegative, so at that end of the molecule it will be slightly negative, and at the hydrogen end it will be slightly positive. Now, if another hydrogen bromide molecule was to come near this molecule, and its orientation was such that the negative end of one molecule was near the positive end of another molecule, you could get an electrostatic attraction occurring. But we must remember that this only occurs when the random thermal motion is very low, when it's a very low temperature, because otherwise a higher temperature would be able to disrupt this attraction. But you can get, if they're moving slow enough, they can line up and you will get intermolecular attraction between the two. It's not just between two molecules, however. Obviously, you're going to get lots of molecules in the sample lining up, and they will keep lining up, alternating positive and negative ends, until you end up with a large solid lattice forming of the compound. Again, I'll stress that these forces are really quite weak. We're probably looking at something like 1/100th the strength of the covalent bond which is holding the molecule together. That type of interaction is called a dipole-dipole interaction. And obviously it'll only occur if the molecule has a dipole. But we do know that some nonpolar compounds and substances do exist as solids, so there must be some force between them as well. So for example, neon. Neon will form a solid, admittedly at very low temperatures, but there must exist some force between the atoms of neon which can hold them together in a solid lattice. If we're able to look inside the neon atom and scan where electrons were, we'd see that most occasions the electrons will be evenly distributed. But just by random chance, on some occasions you'll find one end of the atom will have more electrons than the other. So it'll establish a temporary dipole. That temporary dipole therefore means that as it comes near another neon atom, the electrons on one side of it will be attracted to the positive side of the other atom. So these temporary dipoles can set up a very weak electrostatic attraction as well. Now, those electron clouds can oscillate, and in fact all molecules have electron clouds that can oscillate, so therefore these dispersion forces or London forces are always going to contribute to intermolecular attractions. However, they're usually a lot weaker than the permanent interactions, for example dipole-dipole or hydrogen bonds. However, larger molecules can have considerably stronger dispersion forces. In fact, sometimes almost even as strong as a dipole-dipole. Atoms or molecules with diffuse electron clouds, for example polyatomic ions, or molecules that have multiple bonds, can have these strong intermolecular forces. Now, I've just looked at an atom there, but obviously it's going to occur also with molecules. The molecules will come up near each other, they will induce a temporary dipole in another neighbouring molecule if that neighbouring molecule is moving slowly enough and has close enough proximity to it. Those weak forces, as I said, are called dispersion forces or London forces. So within a solid, you will find, if the temperature is low enough, there'll be an oscillation of the clouds, and you'll get them actually oscillating cooperatively with each other, where these temporary dipoles will induce temporary dipoles in other molecules neighbouring. Now, they probably don't exist for very long. They're probably 10 to the negative 14 or 10 to the negative 15 seconds for each of these temporary dipoles. However, they will be strong enough to form solids if the temperature is low enough. Here's an example here. Iodine, with atomic number 53, actually melts at 113 degrees. The only type of intermolecular forces that can be occurring with iodine are the dispersion forces. So those dispersion forces there are quite considerable. If you look at the noble gases, you'll find that their melting points and boiling points increase as you go down the group. This is all explained due to the fact that there are more electrons, which can therefore form a stronger temporary dipole, which leads to stronger intermolecular attractions. Okay, so we've looked at permanent dipoles and temporary dipoles and the intermolecular forces that are produced by them. As I said, there was another type of intermolecular force which is considerably stronger than those and has quite a bit of significance for life and many other things on the planet. I've posted that episode previously on November 6th of last year. So if you want to check out the hydrogen bond, check out that one. I hope to see you next time.